doctrine class on God himself, because it's all here. So this is our seventh journey through. Let's see if we can remember our other six journeys. So we started with prophecy, looking at all the prophecies of Psalms. Anybody remember what was next? Prayer. And then the Word of God. Anybody know what number four was? What's that, Mona? Praise. Good work. She doesn't even have notes. Or she does have notes. And then what? Trust, right? Trust God. And what was number six? Which we looked at for quite a while. Repentance, yes. So we've looked at through Psalms these six times. Now we're on our seventh time through, this time looking at the attributes of God. Last week, we started this section and looked at the fact that God is eternal, God is immutable, and God is unsearchable. And today we carry on looking at God, and our next point is that God is omniscient. So someone tell me what that word means, omniscient. Yes, sir.
All-seeing.
Right, and all-knowing, exactly. So all-seeing, all-knowing, it means that God knows everything. That there's no surprises or secrets with God. He is omniscient. Now, the word omni means all or complete. Shunt, like our conscience. So it talks about knowledge. So omniscient. And then we'll see that God is omnipresent. That's pretty obvious, that God is everywhere. Then that God is omnipotent, which means all powerful. But first, let's look at the God's omniscience. We'll look at one verse to pray, Psalm 44:21. Howard, if you could read that for us.
Shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart.
He knoweth the secrets of the heart. So God knows even our thoughts. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that now as we continue walking through Psalms, looking at you, our great God, that you would just truly speak to our hearts in powerful ways. Give us that much more appreciation and awe for the God that loved us, died for us, and saved us. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us in your truth, give us your wisdom, and that you'd be glorified. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So on the omniscience of God, Psalm 66:7, Mr. Cairns, if you would. So he sees the nations, and then 73:11, Roy. If Roy, where's Roy? Roy not here? He's hiding somewhere. He's over there. Okay, Mr. Zeus, 73:11, if you would.
And they say, how doth God know? And does the knowledge in the Most High?
Amen. And then Psalm 90, verse 8, Nathan. Our secret sins. So God even knows our secret sins. And then Psalm 94, Isaiah, if you would look at 9 through 11 for us.
He that unseeth the ear shall not hear. Shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen shall not he correct. He that teacheth man knowledge shall not he know. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity.
Amen. So God knows the thoughts of man. And then 103:14, Howard.
For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust.
Amen. And then Brent 119:168, if you would.
I have kept thy precepts and my testimonies. All my ways are before thee.
So all my ways are before God knows all of our ways. Amen. And then Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, Mr. Zeus.
preamble?
Yes, please.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep.
God never sleeps. He never is not present or not knowing what's going on. We'll back up to Roy 139, verse 4.
Where there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, thou knowest
it. Amen. He knows every word that we speak. And then 147, 4 and 5, Nathan. That's a good one to finish on, isn't it? His understanding is infinite. I love that word infinite too. So that is the omniscience of God. And now we're going to talk about the omnipresence of God. But any questions about omniscience? That God knows everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything that we do. He knows everything that we say. God knows everything. There's no secrets with God. All right, so the omnipresence of God, Psalm 139, is beautiful and teaches us probably more beautifully than any other passage in the Bible about his omnipresence. So if you would just go ahead and read 3 through 10, Isaiah, we'll get that this picture of God's omnipresence. Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? That God is everywhere. You cannot run from God. Jonah tried, didn't he? That didn't work out so well. But you cannot hide from God. He is everywhere. And as far as Psalms goes, that is our passage on the omnipresence of God. Any thoughts or questions about that intrinsic or natural attribute of God? So we'll look at his natural attributes and then his moral attributes as well, all in Psalms, and they're all covered. Any thoughts or questions there? All right, how about his omnipotence? So this means that God is all-powerful, which obviously if he made the universe, he has to be. Amen? So let's look at his omnipotence now. Plenty of scriptures on this. Howard, Psalm 33 and verse 9.
He commanded, and it stood fast.
And then Brent 46:6.
The heathen raged, kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted.
The earth melted. 62:11, Roy.
I have spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God.
Amen. 65, verses 6 and 7, Mr. Zeus. Psalm 65, verses 6 and 7.
Which by his strength set apart the mountains, being girded with power, it stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, the tumult of the people.
Amen. And then 66, verses 3 and 7, Nathan. Amen. And then 68, 33 to 35, Isaiah.
To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe his strength unto God, his excellency over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of the holy places. The God giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God.
Amen. 74:13-15, Howard. We're talking about God's omnipotence. 74:13-15.
Verily I have cleansed my heart and name, and washed my hands innocently. But if I say I will speak thus, behold, I will offend against the
Lord. Is that 74?
Oh, sorry. No, it's not. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons and the waters. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou didst driest up mighty rivers.
Amen. And then Brent 77, 14, 16, 18.
Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook.
Amen. 79, 11, Roy. By the way, we'll find that his omnipotence is the most prevalent topic in Psalms when it comes to God. Well, remember, Psalms is all about praising God, trusting God. So through the writers of the Psalms, God is revealing his power. Amen? So that we know we can trust him. We know that he has everything under control. 89:8-9, Mr. Zeus, if you would.
O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, Lord, by country, Lord, who by faithfulness around about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them.
Amen. And then Psalm 93, verses 1 and 4, Nathan. Amen. 97:3-5, Isaiah.
Fire goeth before them, and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightning enlightened the world, the earth saw and trembled, the hills melted like a wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth.
Amen. Howard, 104. There's a lot. 7:9, 29, 30, 39. Just do 7 and 9, if you would.
Art thou rebuked, at thy rebuke they fled, and the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. Thou hast set a bound, they may not pass over, and they turn not again to cover the earth.
And then Brent 29:32, if you would, of the same chapter, 104.
Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever, the Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being.
Amen. And then 106, verse 8, Roy.
Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power.
His mighty power. Mr. Zeus, 107:25-29.
For he commandeth and raideth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still.
And then 111:6, Nathan. Amen. 115:3, Isaiah.
Our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
And then 118:16, Howard. And then 145, 6 and 16, Brent.
Six
and 16.
And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Amen. And then 147, 5, 16, and 18. Roy, if you would.
Great is our Lord, and great power, and understanding, and wisdom.
16 and 18. Amen. And then Mr. Zeus, 148, verses 5 and 8.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they are created. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds fulfilling his word.
Amen. So all of these are just verses teaching the power of God. Amen. And so you can see this theme that flows through Psalms about trusting God and believing that God can do anything. He can, which is why we should trust Him. So the last intrinsic one that we will look at is sovereignty. What does that mean? That God is sovereign. Anybody? Pardon? So he's the ruler. But it means that God is in control and involved in His creation. Amen? You know, a lot of people teach that God made the earth or made man and then just kind of sat back and just let things happen however they happened. But that's not how God works. God is sovereign over His creation. Now, He does let us make our own decisions, and they're often wrong decisions, and we have to suffer the consequences of those. But in the end, God is in control. And He is sovereign, which means he is ruling over His creation. And He makes those decisions of what happens and doesn't happen along the way. Because it's His. He made it. Amen? Yes, sir.
There are periods of when, like the end of the Old Testament to the book of Matthew, the Old New Testament, they say it's about 400 years.
The silent years.
The silent years.
Yes, that's right. And he was silent, and that doesn't mean he wasn't in control. It just means he chose not to speak to man during that time. But those kingdoms were prophesied of. Remember in Daniel, he said that's what would happen. But during that time, like Mark said, God chose to not speak to man. Then, of course, he came to earth. Praise God. we're going to focus on his sovereignty now. So 24, 1 and 10, Brent. Actually, who read last? I lost count. Was it about the fire and hail and snow and vapor? Who was that? Was that Mark? Okay, so it's Nathan's turn. Sorry. Psalm 24, 1 and 10. We're talking about God's sovereignty. So the earth is the Lord's. In other words, He owns it. Amen? He owns His creation. It belongs to Him. He made it. It is His. Psalm 47, 2 and 3, Isaiah. Amen. So He is king over all the earth. And then Howard, same chapter, verses 7 and 8. 47, verses 7 and 8. Talking about God's sovereignty.
God is the king of all the earth. Singing praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heaven. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness.
Amen. And then Brent, Psalms 50, verses 10 to 12.
Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof.
Now, if God doesn't make it clear there, he says, I know every beast, every bird, and it's all mine. Amen? The cattle upon a thousand hills. The cattle, wait a minute, don't the farmers own the cattle? No, God says, I own it all. And I know it all. I know about every one. And then Psalm 66, 7, Roy.
He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Amen. And then Psalms 67, verse 4, Mr. Zeus. We're talking about God's sovereignty.
Nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people rightly and govern the nations upon the earth.
So God governs the nations. Amen. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Nathan. Amen. 83:18, Isaiah.
That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth.
Over all the earth. And then 89, Howard, 11 and 18.
Heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world. Fullness thereof thou hast founded them. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King.
Amen. And then 96:10, Brent?
Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously.
Amen. And then Roy, Psalms 97, verses 1 and 2. Amen. Mr. Zeus, 99:1.
The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubs, let the earth be moved.
Amen. 103:19, Nathan.
The Lord hath prepared his throne to heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all.
Ruleth over all. And then 135:5-6, Isaiah. Whatsoever he pleased. That's his sovereignty. Amen. And then Howard 146, verse 10.
The Lord shall reign forever, even by God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So those are the intrinsic or natural attributes of God in Psalms. And like I said, Psalms covers it all. You could teach a class just on the doctrine of God. So we looked at that he's eternal, he's immutable, he's unsearchable, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and then as we just read, he is sovereign over his creation. Amen. So Beth, I'm going to jump ahead to the moral attributes. Beth has a copy. And we'll do the offices later. So, what is the most prominent moral attribute of God in the Bible? You've probably heard this before. Anybody? There's 10 moral attributes of God. Moral, talking about his dealings with man. So they're all God's attributes, but the natural ones are just who God is. The moral ones are his interactions with his creation, us. What is the most prominent in Scripture? His holiness, by far. So, let's look at God's holiness in Psalms. And it is quite prevalent. God's holiness. So, who read last? Howard. So, Brent, 22:3, the holiness of God. We jumped ahead to the moral attributes, Beth. Jumped ahead a few pages to God's holiness. You'll find it. God's moral attributes. All right, Psalms 30, verse 4. Roy?
Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
His holiness. 47:8, Mr. Zeus.
God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness.
Amen. 48, 1 and 10, Nathan.
Praise the Lord, ready to be praised, and in the city of our God, and in us and for his holiness. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness.
We should have sang 48:1, because that's one of our songs. In the mountain of his holiness. Psalm 60, verse 6, Isaiah.
God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shishim and meet out of the valley of Sukkot.
And then 89:35, Howard. Amen. 98:1, Brent.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory.
Amen. 99, Roy, 3, 5, and 9. God is holy. Amen. Mr. Zeus, 105:3.
Glory be in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Amen. 108:7, Nathan.
God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shishim and be in the valley of Sukkot.
And then 111:9, Isaiah.
He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
Amen. And then 145:17, Howard.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his deeds.
God is holy. And that comes through Psalms in an amazing, powerful way, doesn't it? So next week we will continue looking at God's moral attributes. We'll see his righteousness, his justice, his faithfulness, his goodness, his graciousness, his long-suffering, his love, and his mercy. All of that is in Psalms. Oh, and his truth. And then we'll go back and look at his offices as well. All of that's in Psalms. Like I say, it's its own Bible college class. When I dived into Psalms for this study, I thought surely that praise or trust would be the largest bit, but no, it's God. It's the person of God. If you had to pick a single topic that is the most prevalent, it's God himself. God using the writers of Psalms to present himself to the world. Amen. In that way, it's kind of like the Old Testament version of the Gospel of John. God